All right, Reds on the radio tonight for 6:10. They will face rookie fireballer Paul Skeens. Rookie? I think he's been in the league. Well, he's just come up this year. Anywho, Triple Digits will be on your radar gun in Pittsburgh tonight for the first time this season, Reds and Pirates. Both 34 and 37, Tommy Thrall will tell you all about it. His pregame starts at 6:10. I'll get you the lineup before we leave you tonight, so you are dialed in and ready to go. Both teams 34 and 37, trying to hunt down the Brewers in the National League Central. A man who's played Salton's Run, a fantastic golf course over in Jasper, just 80 minutes away. A little Bermuda action for a supreme time on a supreme golf course. Saltonsrun.com. Make your tee times today. You can see all the great amenities they have, plus the 18th hole, the Supreme Salton signature hole. How many times, Chris Williams, have you played Salton's Run?
I'm embarrassed to say I've never played there. I was supposed to play twice, and we got rained out both times. So I've heard nothing but good things about it. So
once you get off the DL, we'll go over there. We'll make an afternoon.
I like it.
Excellent. Great to hear from you. Chris Williams joins us, and he is our golf insider here. He is on the board of the Bloomington City Golf Tournament. Make sure the Hall of Famers get inducted every year. Plays a little golf on the side as well. And, golf season officially kicks off last weekend as we ramp up towards the 96th edition of the City Tournament. Rick Shearer's medalist tournament. How many medalist tournaments is that now?
This is the 28th edition. So it was. It's been a long-running, sustaining stroke play tournament. Used to be 72 holes, and went to 36 holes. Kind of playing around the courses in the community, and it's we call it the Bloomington Golf Nuts call it the first major of the year. So it was a nice weekend. 18 holes at Martinsville Country Club Saturday, and 18 at the Cades on Sunday.
A little bit hotter on Sunday than on Saturday, but I thought the weather was gorgeous all weekend because the humidity left us alone. So now everybody wondering, well, now that the interstate's up there, well, we could find, we just go through a roundabout here and a roundabout there, then you go up the hill and turn left, and boom, there's Martinsville Golf Club. And then Sunday, obviously, back at Cascades for the 36-hole event. And for the second time in 2 years, you finished second?
Yeah, this is a runner-up for me. Back-to-back years by a single stroke to the same winner, Jason Bannister, who's a really good college golfer at University of Southern Indiana. So I don't have much of an issue coming in second to him, considering how little I play.
I was going to say, you told me you have not had many rounds under your belt this year, and then I had a chance to see Jason out at Rolling Meadows a couple Fridays ago, so the connection is good. The competition level, the championship flight, both days, one at Martinsville, one at Cascades. Bannister lit the place on fire on Saturday. How much pressure did that put on you on Sunday, knowing you had to put a low one at Cascades to get back into this?
Oh, I don't know. I was just trying to keep it in the fairway, and had some interesting tee shots, but putted really well the next day. Just kind of, you know, at 41 and not really worrying about it. If I play well, great. If I don't, then I know it's because I don't play a lot. But I just want to chime in about, you know, the fact that the Cades is just in tremendous shape and was in tremendous competition shape yesterday, with the greens being fast and firm and some great pin positions. And I just drove by there a few minutes ago, and the fairways are just like an Irish green shimmer. It's fantastic. It's easily the best shape I've ever seen the golf course in the, you know, 30 plus years I played out there, and that's not hesitating to say one bit. So,
and we haven't got a ton of rain in June either, so that's the reason it's dry. The fairways, though, aren't going to go anywhere because Zoysia likes the heat and humidity, so that's a good problem to have as well. And well, great to hear. And you had a nice round, 70 yesterday. That was the low round. Were you medalist yesterday at Cascades?
Oh, I don't know if they do a medalist thing or not. I know there was Jacob Knapp, the former North golfer who plays now at Hanover, had 69, but I think he was in the flight below us because
Correct.
Of the first round score. But yeah, there was a lot of, it was just two different golf courses. Martinsville, the greens were very
soft,
very receptive and very soft and slower than I would say people who have been playing Cascades or the Fowl or Country Club were used to. They were more, I would say the scores were going to be more gettable, I'd say, on Saturday. And Sunday, I'd say overall, it was a higher stroke average. So just two very different golf courses, and I think the heat and the firm greens. And there was a good 15, 20 mile an hour breeze most of the day that
was
challenging. So it was a good day.
Well, it's the first major. It should be. That's how this works. That's right. Congratulations to Jason Bannister on his victory. Chris Williams was second. Mitch Ord, who works at the Fowl course, was third in the championship flight. The championship flight for the senior division, Gary Udaly, a name that's very familiar around, defeated Jeff Harrington by 3 shots and Joe Newman by 3 as well. And, congratulations to all who played from the whatever flight you were in. And when we talk about flights, that naturally transitions us into the 96th City Tournament, the Bloomington City Golf Tournament, which will be coming up you got to register before you can start. So let's go in that direction. The deadline to get in the championship flight for the 96th City Tournament will be...
Yeah, so if we're doing championship flight, we just have... Oh, I'd say we're getting close to just a little over a week now. We've got the 24th of June as the deadline, which leads us into the championship qualifying weekend on the 29th and 30th, which is where those who are wanting to qualify to get into the men's senior super senior championships have to play a certain number of rounds. I think it's 36, if I recall, for men's and seniors, and maybe 18 for super seniors. I don't have that information.
That sounds right, unless they've changed that.
Correct, yeah. But the qualifying dates or the registration dates for all their flights is June 30th. So there's a little bit more time, especially if people have been kind of waiting to see what they're going to do. If they're kind of debating, you still have a little bit more time. You only need one qualifying score for all regular flights. You just go into Cascades, you sign up, they'll give you an official card. So it is a little bit different than it used to be where you just kind of go out and you have somebody attest your score and you turn in a scorecard. You have to get something official. And if people have any questions about that, they can call the pro shop or they can check in person, and they can get all the information they need on that.
But the point of the matter is this. The championship flight players know who they are. The rest of you who just want to get involved and challenge yourself and get a little competition in your life, right, go over there, Cascades. You can call the pro shop. Go to the pro shop. They will answer all your questions. It is more fun. And you know what? Not a lot of times do you get a chance to play match play. I mean, you can with your buddy, but that's just not – it's different, and that's what makes this tournament special.
Yeah, it's really one of those things that you just don't see very often. I think we only have one on PGA Tour now, which is in the off season, kind of more in early in the season. And it used to be a staple in the PGA Championship when it was held down at French Lick in 1924. That was a match play championship won by Walter Hagen. And it's just if you're a golf historian, you're familiar with match play. But for a lot of people, they don't realize you're playing against one other person. You can have a blow-up hole where you can literally hit 5 balls out of bounds and you're still in the match. It's a very different animal than stroke play, and some people like that about match play, some people don't. But there's nothing better than having that competition and being in a situation where you're facing off against one person each match, and you're not really playing the field necessarily where you have to compete against 30 other guys. And I'd say that because when you get into the qualifier, you have to do that in a traditional stroke play tournament, but when match play rolls around, it's a whole different animal, and it's a great setup. It's a great format, especially if you're one that likes competition. Even if you're someone that's not played a ton of competition in golf, it's a fun format to get into.
Absolutely, and the PGA Tour, they don't even have match play anymore. The WGC is over. No more WGC.
Oh,
so, yeah, it's been a couple years. Last year, I think, was the last one. Sam Burns was victorious, knocked off his pal Scotty Scheffler. That's when Scheffler didn't win every week. He teed it up. But, no, it's great. It's different. It's unique. And, the 96th City Tournament, we always talk, yes, you can be a part of it. You do not have to be an elite golfer to be in it. You turn in your scores. They pair you up with players of the same ilk, and then you guys knock it out for flight championships. So new folks in town, new golfers in town, just have some fun with it. Don't it's just golf, people. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Chris Williams is our guest today. He is our insider and expert. The City Golf Tournament, once everybody is qualified, we will play not the 4th of July weekend. So if that's something on your calendar that you think, no, that there is no playing that weekend, right?
Well, I have to tell you, Glass, it actually is. So
really?
I want to correct you there. Yeah. So I think it's I think just the way it falls this year, I think it's going to work out because people can still have their 4th of July celebrations, and a lot of people I know are probably going to have that Friday off, and they can and be able to partake with family in that. But the opening weekend is going to be July 6th and 7th.
Okay.
So it is going to be a little bit more concise, and I think for a lot of people who want to play in the tournament, it's going to work out better because it's three straight weekends rather than a weekend for qualifying, a weekend off, and then two weekends. So it doesn't quite stretch into the month of July as it has in the past. So I think it's actually going to be a beneficial thing for the tournament that it's going to be more of a cohesive run from when we kind of get things kickstarted with the championship qualifying and then when things conclude. So, yeah, the official tournament weekend dates, opening weekend is the 6th and the 7th. And then the championship weekend will be on the 13th and the 14th.
Yeah, we can't start it this weekend because we can't start it the last weekend of June because it's June. We want to do this in July, right? So that's kind of how just the calendar falls this year. So, well, we'll edit that part of this interview out when we post it at WGCLradio.com. Just to know we're live today, folks, Chris Williams joining us. I don't want the answer today, but I just want a hint. The City Golf Hall of Fame, how many folks will be being inducted this year for 2024?
Well, I can't even give you a number yet. We're going to have a meeting week after next week to kind of discuss that and kind of look at our options. We had a really good feedback from our Hall of Fame members, those who are in Bloomington and those who are abroad. We had several people to consider, and we made a great induction last year with Dick Meacham, and I think we'll have somebody of equal caliber and someone who respects the game and someone who's been a staple in the tournament. So it is something that we are going to be considering very soon. And obviously, the Hall of Fame has only been around since 1980. And obviously the tournament's been around far longer than that. But for those people who are involved in each aspect of the tournament and the Hall of Fame, it's a big deal for us to induct new members because we want people who are going to be positive additions to the tournament that will be advocates for the tournament, ambassadors, and those people that will continue to look at the tournament in a positive manner and want nothing but the best for it, because we want to continue to grow and we'd love to see it reach the 100th year and really have quite an event for that. So we're hopefully building up for that in the process.
Chris Williams joining us. Cascades is the site of the 96th City Tournament. Stop by, say hi, call. It's really easy, folks. Put Cascades Golf Course Bloomington into your Google-ometer. The phone pops right up there. I thought I left my wallet there last week. I did not. It has been found. That is the good news. Speaking of wallets, Bryson DeChambeau's wallet is $3.9 million fatter than it was the second time he has won the U.S. Open Championship. The winner in 2020 at Wingfoot wins at another iconic U.S. Open venue, Pinehurst number 2 in North Carolina. In awfully, awfully dramatic fashion yesterday afternoon. I was at Winslow watching baseball all day, so I ran back the final 9 holes this morning as I was getting my golf stuff all ready to go. Big names, big event, big leaderboard, big drama. That was great. We'll get into the not-so-greats here in a minute, but I don't know when Bryson DeChambeau became Captain America. If our choices are the guy that plays for Liv or Rory, I know who I was rooting for. What dog in the fight did you have, if any?
Yeah, I'm Team Rory. I think that it's been a struggle for him. It's been, 10 years since he's won a major, and if I'm correct about that.
Yes, that is 2014.
First on the scene, 2011, congressional, and yada, yada, yada. especially for a guy who has been thrown every amount of money possible in his face and he says, I won't do it. I think that that's a testament to the kind of person he is and what he wants to do with the PGA Tour. And I think Scheffler is a similar factor with that. And obviously Scheffler did not have a good weekend, but yeah, it was all Rory. And for a guy who hit the ball as well as he did off the tee, for his approach shots to, you know, I kind of look at that approach he hit under number five, which, you know, he and I believe Cantlay both ended up in a situation where it hit on the front of the green, and Cantlay
front middle,
got a little
right.
luckier with got a little luckier with the result in the bunker, and to see that great shot by Rory end up where he did. I mean, it is what it is, but at the same time, we saw, you know, DeChambeau hit it all over the face of the earth and somehow ended up in better places, even in those waste areas. And we were kind of talking earlier about the sheer size of the fairways and how
70
how
yards
complimentary
wide.
They are. Yeah. It's you know, the bomb and gouge type players that want to hit as far as you can and just, you know, take what you get. It definitely benefited those. If you looked at where DeChambeau was and where Pavone was, you could have built four Walmarts between those.
A Buc-ee's in between there.
A Buc-ee's, for sure.
Well, here's the problem. I don't know if this is a problem, but you need luck to win the U.S. Open or any major golf tournament, or really any golf tournament. So DeChambeau was lucky in that sense. And to McIlroy's discredit, you have to be able to putt to win a U.S. Open. It tests everything.
Sure.
And you have to have everything work to win. And when you missed, if McIlroy, and there's no out of bounds on the course, and there's no water, there's one hole, it's 200 yards, nobody's ever going to hit it. These are the ultimate, the best courses for guys that want to just take a rip at it. And it wasn't like McIlroy, his ball landed in a gopher hole, or he had to take an unplayable, or made a quadruple bogey. He missed a 2-foot 6-inch putt and a 3.5-foot putt. That's the brutal part of this. And I got to kill McIlroy for one thing. You got to face the media there. You can't run home.
Sure.
You can't get on your jet and leave. No. We got to know why. And if he's not going to face the media now, what's he going to do in New York City, Connecticut, when this event's here, the last signature event? It's the media capital of the world.
I don't know. I mean,
that was brutal. That's going to live with him forever.
296 straight putts.
496.
I mean, that's just absurd. And, you know, it's been the weak link of his game forever is his putting. You know, tee to green, there's nobody stronger. He hits it far. He's a great wedge player. His irons are amazing. I looked at, you know, not talking with the media both ways. I mean, he's deflated. I can see why he's like, this is the last thing I want to do. But in the meantime, like you said, it's going to be following him for however many weeks now where he could have cleared the air, he could have addressed it. I don't know. I
right.
see both of it. But the fact that he had that putt and then the subsequent what happened with DeChambeau, who once again hit it off the face of the earth but somehow had a shot. And
not up against the tree root, just off the tree
not
root.
Not up against the tree root, yeah, yep. And then found himself with a bunker shot and – it's you got to give the guy credit for that bunker shot. That was just, you know, otherworldly, if you talk about bunker shots.
Rory McIlroy has just put something out on his Instagram page 10 minutes ago. Yesterday was a tough day, probably the toughest day I've had in nearly 17 years as a professional golfer. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate Bryson. He is a worthy champion, exactly what professional golf needs right now. I think we can all agree on that. I'm not sure. I don't know who signs his paychecks. As I reflect on my week, I'll rue a few things over the course of the tournament, mostly the two missed putts at 16 and 18 on the final day. But as always, as I always try to do, I'll look at the positives of the week that outweigh the negatives. As I said at the start of the tournament, I feel closer to winning my next major championship than I ever have. That one word that I would describe my career is resilient. I've shown my resilience over and over again and in the last 17 years and will again. I'm going to take a few weeks away from the game to process everything and build myself back up for my defense of the Genesis Scottish Open and the Open at Royal Troon. See you in Scotland. Peace sign. There you go. There's Rory McIlroy.
Does he win another major?
Yeah, he does, because he is too close. He's hitting. I mean, the two putts he missed to lose the major – If he hit five of 14 fairways like DeChambeau did and bottled it, that's one thing. But he just those were just too unlucky.
I don't know if you listen to No Laying Up Pod, those guys.
No, I know who they are, but what did they say?
Yeah. They think he's going to win at Troon. They think it's that's going to be a perfect setup for him at Troon, and he's going to be the odds-on favorite to win it, which I think is bold.
That is
I
bold.
Think if he, you know,
the weather is too variable.
See what he does at the Scottish Open.
Yeah, and the weather is too variable for both of those events to write anything down a permanent marker. That's a hot take is what it is. No Laying Up's awfully good at that. Sure. They've made a lot of money doing their hot takes. But
sure.
But if he's on the wrong side of the draw, they'll just complain, well, I told you so, but he was on the wrong side of the draw. That's how that works.
Yeah.
So get on radio. Get your hot takes going.
At the end of the day, it's he had two putts. You know,
two very makeable two putts. These were not crazy circus putts. No. He didn't make them.
Yep.
Chambly did a good job, though, in 18. He said, I don't want a four-footer on that side of the hole to make a par. He got that right. I wasn't crazy about their coverage, but whatever. And the other part of this was the downplaying of DeChambeau's 55-yard bunker shot. You are an expert golfer. Please tell the audience how hard that is.
Well, if anybody who's listening has played Cascades and they play the original front nine, there's a bunker on the first hole, that's probably, it depends on which party you're on of the part of the bunker, that could be anywhere from about 40 to 55 yards. At that point, you don't know what to hit. And it is truly extremely difficult because you have to accelerate through the shot in the bunker, but you don't want to hit it too hard. What club do you hit? Do you hit a sand wedge? Do you hit a gap wedge? Do you hit a pitching wedge? Do you hit a 9-iron? And if you are having the pressure of knowing, I have to get this close to make a putt, to not force a playoff, it's incredibly difficult. And so, yeah, mid-range bunker shots, like if people have played the foul, you've been in those bunkers short right of the whole first hole, or really any of the bunkers out there that are not greenside, it's extremely difficult because for most people, bunkers are one of the most difficult shots to hit because it's just not something that most people are comfortable with.
It's a penalty area. It should be difficult.
It should be difficult. And yeah, if you don't want to go in the bunker, then don't hit in the bunker. But it's one of those situations where it was a jaw-dropping shot. He hit it perfectly. It was executed perfectly. It rolled out perfectly because all of those greens are the same way. And if you can miss it by a foot, you're either back where you started or you're over the green or you're short, whatever the case may be. Those turtleback greens just get everybody. And the coverage just did not do it justice just how undulating those greens are. So, yeah, as much as I'm not a Bryson guy, I couldn't do anything but just applaud that shot. It was incredible.
And there's a difference between that shot and what Bryson does for a living. And when you see him celebrate and let everybody touch the trophy and you pour beer out of the trophy and you high-five everybody and you tell them it's for them, that's exactly what sports washing looks like.
Yep.
100%. That's what it is. Don't look over here where that's going on. Look at me, the champion. How nice a guy I am. All these logos, don't worry about those logos. They're done. Everybody knows
just
who the four is.
Watch out for the ropes.
Yeah,
watch
man.
Out for the ropes.
Awesome. Have a great vacation. We'll get caught up when you get back as we get closer to the city tournament. We'll get together outside of it as well. And I want to talk about IU artifacts in the summers. We got plenty of time to get to that too.
Sounds good. Always good to chat with you.